the winning sound of Network Sports.
And a very pleasant good evening to you, and welcome to another very special edition of Mason and Guests, heard on Voice of Barbados. You can call us at 441790. You can send a WhatsApp to 253-4679 or an email to cricketmason@yahoo.com. Mason and Guests is brought in association with our good friends at ASF. We work around the best shot of the day.
Yes, it feels quite wrong. If anybody feels they could drink with me, let them come. Open your mouth, drink it up, or you can't qualify to sing this song. Tell me, bartender, ESA is the best shot of the day. Boy, pa 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 da 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 pa 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 da da. Say what you want, ESA is the best shot of the day. Is the best shot of the day.
Well, the regional tournament is looking very interesting indeed. It continues tomorrow, the final round of matches, and it is tight, tight, tight. Yes, indeed, the Windward Volcanoes on 90 points, the Barbados Pride with an important victory against the Leeward Hurricanes, certainly doing extremely well in that match, a high-scoring battle. 87.6 points. The Guyana Harpy Eagles, they're the defending champions on 87.2. The Leewards, they'll be playing against the Windwards. They're on 84.6 points. So basically, those are the teams in the competition that will have any realistic chance of winning. The Trinidad and Tobago Red Force on 72.8 points. And if you're interested, Jamaica, 57 points. The West Indies Academy, 54.2 points, and the CCC on 26.6 points. They've done very ordinary in this competition. And in fact, they've lost all their matches, and you just begin to wonder whether or not this should be in the competition. I'm sure that conversation will come up again. So we want to spend some time on that. There's no doubt about that. On the local scene in Barbados, I note with interest that Maple... Yes, Maple, a team that was demoted a couple of years ago. They've done very well in the T20 competition. We hope to hear from one of their stalwarts a little bit later on the show as to the rise of Maple. I'm so glad for them, because when you recognize that, you know, the country team, St. Catharines, up in the east, and Maple on the west coast being demoted, St. Catharines have had their struggles, while the Mapleites have won three of their matches, St. Catharines losing three matches, and it must be a great concern about Bayfield, what is happening as far as they're concerned. There's no doubt about that. And we want to continue to pick your World Cup squad. You could also pick your team to England. I note with interest again that a lot of cricketers are doing very well at the regional level. Young Michael Louis really has put his hand up. You know, when you look at Warrican is doing extremely well. Roston Chase has had a good time for Barbados. I also note that he's not in this match at all. We're hoping to join the manager of the Barbados team, Mr. Colin Bowen, a bit later on. The gentleman is saying that they're having these meetings. But of course, we want to meet you on Mason and Guest as well. I've sent him the Zoom link, and he said he'll try to see if he can be very much a part of the action. Shamar Joseph getting his first match, not a particularly good outing, and the question being asked from near and from far, should he be in the West Indies team in terms of the T20 squad? I don't have a problem with that. I certainly would pick him, because I think that he should be used as an impact bowler to get wickets, because I've always said for a long time that we devalue the importance of getting wickets. T20 cricket is largely about batting, but if you can get wickets and really just slow the opposition down, and I certainly would have him without hesitation, Shamar Joseph, in my World Cup squad. You can certainly pick your World Cup squad, and of course you can also pick your team to England and get very much involved in the discussion. But without any further ado, I don't think Phil Wallace is going to join us this evening. He told me about an hour ago that he was having a massive headache. Maybe he's missing the good old Barbadian food. And he would not be with us this evening. But Tony Gray, the scout, You know that he's getting closer and closer to being a senior selector. He's joined us from all the way in the land of Calypso. And of course, Dr. Andrew Ford is going to be with us as well. Interestingly enough, we also want to talk to a youngster. Of course, on the last program, we had some under 13 boys playing, very much involved in the program. Under 15 we had as well. In fact, the program before would have been the under 13 boys. And last week we had the captain of the Barbados team. And the manager of the Barbados team actually made a comment about a youngster from Grenada, Aravinda Bishop, who actually bowls, and he will bowl right-handed or left-handed, depending on the batsman that he's going to bowl to. And he started out actually as a left-handed batsman, is now batting right-handed. And it's a very interesting story. And certainly I will be talking to him a little bit later on the show, because I think that when you find these things, you've got to bring it to the public. But without any further ado, Tony Gray is with us. Hello, Tony, how are you? How is good old Trinidad and Tobago? Tony, how are you?
Good afternoon to you, Andrew. Good evening to you, Andrew. You hearing me?
Yeah, we hear you loud and clear.
Are you hearing me, Andrew?
Yes, we hear you loud and clear.
Good evening to Dr. Ford. Good evening. Good evening to your viewers and listeners. Yeah, Trinidad and Tobago, very hot, very humid. Mm. It's going well. With some breeze around, though.
Right. Okay. Now, you're a scout, huh? Are you a scout? Is that right?
Yes, I'm a CWI scout, yep.
Okay, good. So you're getting closer and closer to the promised land then? In terms of being a senior selector. Is that right, Tony? Tony?
Well, it's up to the authorities. I'm just trying my best, Andrew.
I know. You're very economical with your answer, but I do understand. You know, I would always like to set a little trap for you. But your overall impression, Tony, of the regional tournament so far? You've seen several matches. We're down to the wire now. You know, Barbados up there. Of course, the Leewards up there. The Windwards up there. The Guyana Harpy Eagles up there as well. What's your overall view of the competition so far in terms of standard, Tony? Tell me.
Well, I think that at the start of the tournament, the standard was a bit low, but I think that players generally are getting accustomed to playing at that standard. They're getting accustomed to the rigors of playing 4 days. I mean, early on, fitness was a problem, was an issue. But I think that players now have gotten accustomed to the rigors of playing 4 day cricket. One of the things that I'm pleased with is the amount of runs that are being scored. We've seen one or two centuries. People are repeating centuries too. The bowlers have had it hard because most of the time the pitches have been slow, lethargic, and not really advantageous to them. So it's been really difficult for the bowlers, but the batsmen have capitalized on some ordinary pitches and have batted well in the general sense. So we are looking for them to transfer that type of form into test matches, and obviously the World Cup is coming up. But I think that the level of performance in a general sense have been improving.
Yeah, in fact, when we look at the runs, Michael Louis, 6 matches, 549 runs, doing very well, an average of, what's his average now? It's 45.75. We've got Craig Brathwaite, you know, he always makes runs, 473, highest of 189. Interesting enough, Louis got 200s and 4 half centuries as well. Kevin Sinclair, I spoke to him today, I'm hoping he's going to join us a little bit later on the show. He's got 471 runs, can you believe that? 165 not out, a very healthy average as well. You got Jaime Gu making runs, 449. He's from Trinidad and Tobago. Jason Muhammad, the old stager, he's got 442 runs. Carty, 431 runs. And Ambrose, 409. So those are the ones that have gotten over 400 runs or so. So, I mean, Louis, I saw him against Barbados. I think he's a wonderful player. I'm certainly one for the future. And you got Joshua Drakes, who's had a reasonably good time for the Barbados side. You know, he's picked up a century. McCaskey is in there as well. He's got 100 as well. And, you know, when you look at it, those first four or five, they've done pretty well. Roland Butcher's joined us. Roland, how are you? What part of the world are you, Roland? Are you in Pakistan?
Andrew, good night to you and your guests and listeners. No, I'm not in Pakistan, and I think you know that only too well. I'm in your mother country.
Okay, wonderful indeed. What are you doing up there, Roland? I mean, you got so much time in your hand because, you know, not being a selector anymore, you've got so much time in your hand.
Well, that's a very good question. no, I'm commentating for the BBC.
You're commentating for the BBC? Oh, that's wonderful, Roland. That's big work.
And then we've had two games so far, and apart from the weather, I'm enjoying it.
Okay, have you seen Jason Hall, the bowlers, yet?
No, I haven't. I was on the same flight as Jason. Obviously, Worcester have had to play their games away from New Road because, you know, in the winter, that ground floods, and as the temperatures and the weather's, the climate has been changing. It's flooding even more. So the first two games they've had to play away from New Road. But it's been tough for the bowlers so far because pitches have been good and they're using the Kookaburra ball for the first two games. Hence, you would have seen some massive scores almost in every game. First game, which I did, was Middlesex against Glamorgan. Glamorgan made 620 for three declared. Middlesex we played with 655. So it's been pretty much like that all around the country. Just wickets flat and the Kookaburra ball not helping the bowlers at all.
Do you like the Kookaburra board, Roland? Do you like it?
Yes, I do actually. That's a big debate going on in England as to whether it's a good experiment to use a Kookaburra ball or not. They're actually using it for four games this year, two at the start of the season, two at the end. The reason why I like it is that, you know, batsmen need to score runs, and by scoring runs, big runs, that gives you confidence. The Duke ball does a tremendous amount, as you know, especially at the start of the season. So I like the idea of the Kookaburra ball because you know, it makes bowlers, and I always believe that bowlers win matches, so bowlers have to improve their skills. And what I'm seeing so far is that they lack the skills that is required. Hence, you know, the Hazelwoods, the Cummins, and those guys have learned how to bowl with a Kookaburra ball and bowl well. If they can do that in England, then England will become an even more formidable international side. So I like the experiment.
So what are they going to be bowling with when West Indies play against England? Do you know? Isn't it going to be the Duke ball instead? Well, what? Tell me.
Well, I would imagine. Oh, yeah. The Duke ball, for sure. I think part of the experiment is to obviously, you know, give practice for the next Ashes tour. So, you know, I think next year, England go to Australia, so you know they need to get some practice against the Kookaburra ball.
Okay, but interesting.
Against West Indies, you'll be back to the Dukes for sure.
And maybe that's why someone like Kemal Roach may be able to do his thing. You're in England. What about Jaden Seals? I mean, he started pretty okay, hasn't he?
Yeah, he has. He's had a first game. He did reasonably well. I think he got six or seven wickets in that first game in total. Yeah, I mean, he's, you know, he started well. The thing is, he's got to keep going. It's what he's not going to find that easy is that, you know, to play every week, lots of traveling, and, you know, it's been quite chilly in certain places, even though the sun has been shining. But you know, he's got to get that and, you know, come out and bowl game after game. So I think the whole idea of him playing here is a good one because he can only improve him as a cricketer.
Mm. Do you have him in your squad to England, Roland, Jaden Seals?
Well, Andre gave you my squad a long time ago, and then obviously you have forgotten the squad that I gave you.
But the reason I'm asking you have a tendency to change, you know, on people, you know, Roland. So I just want to reconfirm.
I told you a fit Jaden Seals would replace Hakeem Jordan.
Okay, Hakeem Jordan, right. Well, did you sit next to Roland? Did you sit next to Jason Hold on that flight?
No, most definitely not. Jason would be upstairs with the pub.
I see. Possibly in business or first class.
Huh? Or the cockpit.
I see. Because, you know, not having Jason in your side, you know, it might have been a little, you know, funny. You didn't tell him that you don't have him in his side, your side, did you?
Yes, sir.
You did?
He would have heard you say it on your show a million times. You know, we chatted. We're professionals. It's only my opinion.
Yeah, of course. This is why I got excited when you said you were.
What's the opinion?
This is why I got excited when you said you were on the same flight. You see, you know, I know. All right. Well, stay with us.
We're mature professionals, Andrew.
Wonderful indeed. Right. Okay. Stay with us because we want to look, of course, at the regional tournament, and I know that the World Cup is very much with us. Demon, who of course is with us as well. Demon Leon, who is the head of PR, he's joined us as well for just a couple of minutes because he's a very, very busy man. And as I promised you, we want to have a little chat with young Bishop, that guy that is so interested in bowling left-hand and right-hand in the same game. Hello to my good friend, Dr. Ford. Dr. Ford, you need to give Philo something because he's got a massive headache. What do you recommend? He said he can't make it. What do you recommend?
Well, good night to the panelists and listeners. That there is history, you know. Medicine is about a history, a story, and then examination. There are no shortcuts to the process, unfortunately.
Okay.
But I'm sure maybe I'll talk to him after the show.
Mm-hmm.
But it's good to hear about the regional tournament and how it's shaping up. And, you know, the batsmen, you know, the top batsmen are getting 200s and some getting 100 and several 50s. And a lot of the people that are in the shake-up for the West Indies Test Tour are doing reasonably well. And interesting you mentioned Shamar Joseph because, you know, I know you had Shamar in your T20 team, but I had said that format didn't suit Shamar in his fledgling part of his career. And the lottery and the ravages of that that game and, you know, you saw what happened, and I don't think that's the sort of build up we want for Shamar after just one test match and so early in his career.
Mm-hmm.
But and listen to Roland about the English season and how it's shaping up and the differences of the balls as it relates to 4-day cricket. Pretty interesting stuff so far.
Mm-hmm. Interesting.
With the show.
Right. Okay. So. Now, just hold your horses, Tony Gray. You're going to spend just about 10 or so minutes, of course, with a fellow Trinidadian. I know that you all live in the same area. Is that that big area just outside the airport where the big guns live? Is it Valcian or something? Anyway, that big area there in Trinidad where the guys with the 5 and 10 and 15 million US dollar houses. How are you, Mr. Leon? How are you? Do you know Tony Gray? Have you ever met him?
Well, of course, who would not know Tony Gray if you're in Trinidad? And yes, you're correct. The big houses that you're talking about, of course, a lot of security to get through to him. So,
I see.
That's not true.
Well, but I know your time...
No, but Great guy with a great sense of humor.
Wonderful guy, yes. I know your time is limited, so we're going to get straight into it. Young Aravinda Bishop, stay with us. We're going to certainly talk to you pretty soon indeed. How are the ticket sales going generally? Mr. Leon, are they going well?
For the World Cup, we are satisfied with where we are. It's been very promising for all of the matches within the US. So we don't anticipate any major issues where tickets for those games are concerned. And in the Caribbean as well, I think those of who have been on the website would have noticed that at least all of the major or the bigger games have been sold out, meaning the semifinals, the mm-hmm. final, etc. And well, yesterday we launched the party tickets for the World Cup. So we were monitoring those sales in the first hours yesterday, and those are also progressing well. So it's just a matter of us keeping our foot to the pedal. And of course, we do launch the box offices coming on stream across the Caribbean towards the end of the month, early May. And that's going to be the next big driver where people can go directly to box offices to get their tickets.
Mm. So the ticket booths in the respective territories will be opening when? I just want to make a note. Can you give me a date?
Yes. So tentatively, So we're just waiting to get some of the stock that's coming in. Mm. So at the latest, we anticipate that's going to be open across the region in maybe the first 2 to 3 days of May.
Mm.
So maybe give or take another couple of weeks or there.
Mm-mm. But you do recognize that we've not been able to nail down at any particular date as yet, and it's a little surprising to me. In terms of the ticket booths.
I think you can hold me close to those dates that I've mentioned. But again, a lot of these things do come in from away. And of course, I would not want to say anything on the show that you would want to hold against me when you come back next week.
Right. So just let me get back.
I think the public can say around 2nd or 3rd of May at the absolute latest where things stand right now.
So we can quote you, Paul Mears can do a story tomorrow saying, that the Heather PR is saying that we should get the ticket booths in the respective territories opening around May the 2nd or 3rd. We can quote you on that.
Yes, you can.
Wonderful.
Yes, you can.
So that should make a good story tomorrow. But generally, the ticket sales have been going well. What about in England? Because I've been hearing that they've been a little bit slow. Is that right?
Well, actually, we've gotten quite a fair amount of ticket sales out of the UK. Strange enough, which sort of came as a surprise to us, the US actually has been a significant market for a lot of our ticket sales. So, and of course, you would expect from the larger nations such as India, etc. So, with the USA, this being their first time participating in and hosting an ICC World Tournament, it came as a pleasant surprise to us, and and we continue to get ticket sales coming in, and of course we do need the Caribbean people to start making sure that they don't lose the opportunity, because tickets, as I said, particularly with the party stands, those seem to be off at a quick start.
Mm. Roland, you're up in England. How are the sales going? Is there a buzz in England in terms of the sales? Because I'm hearing that the Barmy Army and those people don't maybe have the kind of interest that we were expecting. Have you heard anything about that, Roland? A little birdie told me that.
Well, what I've heard, Andrew, is that I think some of the travel agents are having some difficulty in persuading. But that's what I've heard. Mm. But
and persuading, and persuading what? Persuading to do what?
Well, I guess persuading the English supporters to take on the World Cup. I'm not sure what else is happening. I mean, I think this year is quite a busy year. I think you've got the Olympics in Paris. Mm-hmm. Lots of other things going on. So I think they've reported a slowness in the way things are going.
Mm. Have you heard that, Mr. Leon? Can you confirm what Roland just said?
The discussions with the tour operators that we've been having, it's always, it's in their best interest, of course, to continue to sort of to drive the tour packages to the Caribbean. I do not have a record to whether they've reached a specific number or whether they're satisfied, but we do know that it continues to be ongoing with them, but they have not expressed to us any significant issue.
I see. Dr. Ford, have you heard anything? You tend to know these things. People call you all the time. Have you heard anything, Doctor?
Well, at least I know that all kids have been, I mean, for members here, that more tickets have been available and released, and we can go on a link and get tickets. But I'm kind of fascinated by why the Party Stand tickets went on sale a bit later than the others.
Mm.
And, you know, the demarcations of basic and you know, the other levels, basic, standard, and venue. What was the reason for these tickets having this lag time behind the others?
Mm.
Sorry, could you just repeat the question?
The question, for me? Yeah. Mm-hmm.
The question is why the lag time between the Party Stand tickets and the others? I know you were you had tenders for the Party Stand, but why wasn't it fast tracked to have those tickets available at the same time as all the other tickets for all the grounds in the region?
Sure, and I can answer that because just for full disclosure, up to maybe like a month or two ago, we were still sort of finalizing with some of the countries exactly what would be the capacity of their Party Stands,
okay,
their locations, etc. Because some countries were doing add-ons, some were doing it over from scratch. So, of course, we could not let general ticket sales sit while we waited on that information to come in. And, of course, we were also in discussions with the various suppliers across the Party Stand suppliers across the Caribbean. So, but it was not something that was unplanned. We always knew that we were going to launch general tickets first and that Party Stands would come subsequently.
Mm-hmm.
But usually the Party Stand is a place where you go and you have your drinks and everything else, you know, like all inclusive. Was there really a need to have the demarcation between basic and the standard ticket sales?
Yeah, no. We've catered for a while because we're trying to just ensure that there's much participation and inclusion. And for some people, the price of the Party Stand ticket with drinks may have been in some instances prohibitive. So we left the option where those who just wanted to get a Party Stand ticket for the environment and offer them the opportunity to purchase drinks if they wanted. So that was just a decision that was made by the events organizers, and it was just structured that way. So there are those, if you just want to go in and just be part of the experience and buy your own drinks, that option is yours. If you want the full package with all of your alcoholic, non-alcoholic drinks, etc., then you have the option to buy as such.
The only thing is that traditionally the Party Stand is for the patron who understood the ethos of the stand and what it meant, and you know, having that freedom to eat and drink and to, you know, just enjoy that experience. The thing is, does someone who doesn't want to drink or do other things, would they really fit in that atmosphere?
Sure. Well, the thing is, we do know from some of the urge. Remember, unlike other tournaments, where of course we in the Caribbean, this is sort of grown up. We have grown up in this, and this is part of our DNA. But there are some cultures and countries that come in with a bit more conservative standards, but they like the music. They like to go by the pool area, sit on, etc. But they may not be alcoholic drinkers, and they may be vegetarians, etc. So it's just trying to cater to everyone. But we do anticipate that, of course, the tickets that will go first will be the ones that are drinks inclusive.
Well, the big question is, where do the tickets that will be at box offices come from? Have some of the tickets been withheld? Let's say 95% of the tickets are online and 5% kept back. What's the breakdown of these tickets that will be physically available at the box offices?
Sure. So, and actually, that's a really good question. So what we do have, what does happen, for example, and you probably would know from previous tournaments. So there are instances, for example, where a sponsor may not take up their full allotment of tickets for a specific game or for a specific venue, but they may not let us know until close to the tournament. So when those tickets come back in, we put them back into the pool. So it's not a matter that if we have the venue for once ground is 100 seats and we keep back 25, You know, we will always ensure that there's enough for Caribbean nationals, but we do get a lot of tickets that come back in from sponsors and operators, etc. That's just how it goes from all tournaments of this nature.
Mm-hmm. And our last World Cup, India didn't make the final, and it had a big impact on attendance. There were a lot of ghosted seats for individuals that already bought tickets, anticipating India to be there. Is there some sort of you know, something in place for such an eventuality this time? How quickly can you release tickets if let's say India doesn't make the final or the semifinal? How do you pivot in such a situation on this occasion?
Sure. Well, there's a difference between the India, and if you're referring to in India in particular, there's a difference, one, if they're not coming, but they've purchased the tickets. So it may be that they've purchased tickets for the semifinal in Guyana, but because they don't get to the semifinal, they just don't go, but the tickets have been sold.
Mm.
So that's general tickets. So, but from a sponsor's end, if they say, look, we've put money into this tournament, we didn't make it through. Once they've realized, let's say at the Super 8 stage, they get knocked out, they say, look, we don't want to use our X amount of hundreds or thousands of tickets. Once we are notified of that they become available, we put it immediately back into the pool.
I see. Just before we take a commercial break, I know you got to go very, very soon, Damon. In terms of the World Cup trophy, I mean, it's on tour around the Caribbean. How has that gone? Has there been tremendous interest in it?
Yeah, actually, Barbados, the World Cup trophy tour, I mean, I think for those who've been sort of following the tournament with a little more detail would have seen that it actually kicked off in March with Chris Gayle and Ali Khan lighting up the Empire State Building.
Mm-hmm.
It then went on to Dallas, the other host country. It went across to Buenos Aires. It went across to Rio, and it's now in the Caribbean. So its first stop actually officially was in Barbados, which happened on Friday and Saturday. The U.S. Embassy did a wonderful greeting of the trophy because, of course, it's their first time in the tournament, so they did something for the public on Friday, and then Saturday gone was the big day where Barbados basically just rolled the red carpet out. We have some great content. ICC is starting to publish content from that tour in the coming days, and we're actually into tomorrow. We go across to Antigua, and then we head straight across to St. Lucia, and that rounds off the three Caribbean host countries for the month of April. It then goes back to the States. I think it's going to go to Formula One Racing and a couple other venues. Mm-hmm. Then comes back for the other three destinations in the Caribbean in May, which will be St. Vincent, followed by Trinidad, followed by Guyana, before West Indies' first match on Sunday, the 2nd of June.
And the fan zones for the World Cup? Can you tell us about fan zones?
Yeah, actually, We will be having fan zones at all of the host venues for the tournament.
Mm-hmm.
Our officer in that regard, they just finished completing inspections across all of the six host nations over the last week or two. And that was discussions with sports ministers, government heads, etc., determine where those fan zones would be. When do they open, etc. So right now those details are being finalized, but in essence there will be fan zones. They're going to be free to enter to the public, and it's what I think we've come to expect from a typical World Cup fan zone. They're going to be large format screens, they're going to be bars, there's going to be entertainment. Some countries will put on after parties in the night, which may be at a separate cost depending on who's coming in. Sponsors will put up all of their activations. Mm-hmm. We'll have kids zones, it'll be open, and they'll be open for both match days and non-match days. And that's what we're just crossing our T's with and dotting our I's now with the governments and so.
Wonderful. Okay, well, thanks for coming on the show. You said you're going to spend 10, 15 minutes with us, and we're happy. Continue to inform the public about what's happening as far as World Cup is concerned. So, Head of PR, thanks very much for coming, and it was always a pleasure to have you on Mason and Guest.
Great. Thank you so much for having me, and I look forward to coming on again.
All right, indeed. Okay, let's pause for business calls. When we come back, we're going to talk to a young man who is very interesting, and I also want to hear from Tony Gray what's happening in Trinidad and Tobago in terms of the interest of the World Cup. Mason and Guest brought in association with the good friends at ASFE Work Rum, the best shot of the day.
ASFE White Rum. If anybody feel they could drink with me, let them come. Open your mouth, drink it up, or you can't qualify to sing this song. Tell me, bartender, ESA is the best shot of the day. Boy, pa 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 da 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 pa 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 da da. Say what you want, ESA is the best shot of the day. Is the best shot of the day.
But of course, we can open the lines pretty soon, 441-790. You can send us a WhatsApp at 253-4679. And we already have a WhatsApp coming from New York and saying, Mr. Mason, enjoying your show. This would be my team to go to England. He says, Brathwaite Louis, Mackenzie Carty, Athanase Hodge, Graves, Sinclair, De Silva, Seals, Springer, interesting, Moti, Roach, Alzari Joseph, and Shamar Joseph. So no Jason Holder in that side. Continue to send us your teams. You can send us your World Cup side as well. And we'll be only too happy to actually read those teams. We're going to open the line a bit later on. So that came from the States. A very interesting selection. Tony, just before you come on, we're going to spend just a couple of minutes with Aravinda Bishop. He's from Grenada. Aravinda Bishop. When you hear that name, of course, you talk about the great Sri Lankan batsman. And this young man played only recently in the under 15 tournament. And last week on the show, we had the manager of the Barbados team coming to speak to us, and he made some interesting comments. He said there was this bowler that would bowl right hand or left hand depending on who he was bowling to, and I found that interesting. So I decided to do a search, and I actually found the young man who was very much with us on Mason and Guest for a couple of minutes. Hello, good evening to you, sir. How are you?
Good evening, sir.
Mm-hmm.
I'm fine, thanks. How are you?
I'm good. He's got a big, powerful voice. No, talk to me. You're from Grenada?
Yes, sir.
Mm-hmm. Okay, what part of Grenada are you from?
I'm from the south of Grenada, a village called Westerhall.
Westerhall, yes. I've been there. Tony Gray's got some land there in Westerhall. It's an area for the posh and the rich and famous. So I know that Tony has got some land. Tell me, youngster, I understand that you bowl and you would bowl right hand or you bowl left hand depending on who you're bowling to. Is that true?
Yes, sir. I would bowl left hand to a right-handed batsman so that it will spin away from him,
mm-hmm.
making it hard to bat to me when I'm bowling.
Mm-hmm.
And I bowl right hand when a left hand batsman is batting.
Mm. Why do you do that? Tell me why you do that, because it's quite unusual. I actually saw a video a little bit early on with you bowling left hand and right hand the same side. Why do you do that, Aravinda? Tell me why.
Because the ball will spin away from the batsman and there's more chance of the batsman getting caught in the slips,
mm-hmm.
or driving up in the air to covers, mm-hmm. or the sweeper,
mm-hmm.
or maybe going across the line and the fielders on the onside will be able to catch it.
Mm-hmm. I see. Interesting. So when you have a right-handed batsman, or you ball left arm spin to him? Is that what you do when you have
Yes, sir.
Okay. And why would you do that? Left arm and to him and not right hand when you're bowling to a right-handed batsman?
Well, when I'm bowling left hand to a right-handed batsman, it will spin away from him.
Mm-hmm.
And as I said before, it will create more chances of getting caught in the slips,
mm-hmm.
and getting caught in the covers.
Mm-hmm. So here we have a situation where Tony Gray is a left-hander, Roland Butcher is a right-hander, they're the crease together. You're bowling to the left-handed Tony Gray, and you bowl your right arm spinner. Then the batsman get a single, and then you obviously changed to bowl to Roland Butcher. How easy or how difficult is that to do?
It's not that difficult to me, as I practiced a lot when I was smaller.
Mm-hmm.
And now I can just change around the field and as umpire to change my bowling style.
Oh, I see. And you were telling me when we spoke today that it has to do with something with throwing rocks and that would have improved a situation for you. Tell us about that story.
Yes. When I was about 5 years old, I used to pick up pebbles and throw it my right hand.
Mm-hmm.
And my dad said
mm-hmm.
that we can throw with your left hand to get a batsman run out, making it easier.
Okay.
And then I start throwing my left hand. And then when I grew up, I started to throw big rocks with my left hand to straighten it. And eventually, I started bowling left-handed.
Hmm. Isn't that an interesting story? And when you first started to bat, you were batting as a left-hander and then changed to right. Is that true?
Yes, sir.
Mm-hmm. So why did you do that? Your dad advised you to change from being a left-hander to right-hander?
Yes. When I was in Grenada, mm-hmm. I used to have a ball on a string
mm-hmm.
and I used to practice batting left-hand. And one day,
mm-hmm.
my dad showed me the Rohan Kanai sweep shot.
Ooh.
And Rohan Kanai was a right-hander. So I tried doing it on the ball and string. And then I started practicing batting right hand on the ball and string. And he told me, why don't you start practicing and keep continuing batting right hand?
That is an absolutely amazing story. And the name Aravinda, of course, I'm told that your mother's Sri Lankan. Is that right?
Yes, sir, that's correct.
Mm, and you got the name from the great Sri Lankan batsman, I'm told.
Yes, sir.
Mm-hmm, I see. So what about the influence of your mom and dad? Of course, it seems as if your dad is pretty close to you and mom, they obviously support you quite a bit.
Yes, my dad was a cricketer and he's a cricket coach.
Mm-hmm.
So he taught me everything I know about cricket.
Oh, that's wonderful.
And my mom supports me whenever I have a match or practice. And she keeps telling me about life advice.
Yeah. What did she tell you? Tell me some of the things that mom would tell you in terms of support. You talk about life, I'm sure she'll... What did she say to you? Tell me.
Yes, she kept telling me to keep working hard and hard work pays off and keep continuing playing cricket because it will turn into greater things
mm-hmm.
and you can have a big career in cricket and sports
mm-hmm.
and stuff like that.
Wonderful. Where do you go to school in Grenada?
Presentation Brothers College.
Okay. Interesting. And how are you doing at school? I understand you're a bright boy getting lots of A's like Tony Gray. Is that right?
Yes. I'm at the top of the class and I do very well
mm-hmm.
in school.
Okay. Top of the class. What's your favorite subject?
My favorite subject is maths, physics.
Mm-hmm.
And physical education.
Why physical education?
Because I can get to play cricket and other sports that I like.
I see. Who's your favorite cricketer?
Well, Shiv Narayan Chanderpaul, Nathan Lyons, and Daniel Vittori.
Okay. So why is Chanderpaul, is your favorite batsman? Why is Chanderpaul your favorite batsman? Can you tell me?
Because I love his batting style
mm-hmm.
and that's the way how I bat now and carefully. And I love how he just bats and how he plays the game.
Mm-hmm. Wonderful. And what about Nathan Lyons? What do you like about him? Spinning like yourself.
Yes. I love his right hand bowling action. It's very classical
mm-hmm.
and very correct.
I see. And that Daniel Vittori, left arm spinner, what do you like about him?
Yeah, He's a very good left-arm spinner, and I love his action also, and I also love his batting because he's a very good batsman also.
Mm-hmm. I see. Wonderful. Do you want to make cricket of a career when you grow up? You know what? August the 4th, 2009 is your, you know, your birthday. Do you want to become a full-time cricketer or an economist like your dad?
No, I want to become a full-time cricketer.
Mm-hmm. Isn't that wonderful? All right. Dr. Ford, I know that you've been listening. Roland Butcher and Tony Gray, do you want to converse with youngster? Anything mm-hmm. you want to say to him? I think this is a wonderful story.
Yeah, fascinating. Trying to be ambidextrous in batting and bowling, mm-hmm. which isn't very common at all. I have two questions. My first question is, as it relates to practice, do you try to equally divide the time, you know, learning, perfecting the art from using both types of handedness?
Mm-hmm. Yes, I do. I count the balls in my head when I practice in the nets. Mm-hmm. So I bowl 6 balls or 12 balls left hand, mm-hmm. and then change over 12 balls right hand.
Mm-hmm.
And same for batting. If I bat 20 minutes in the nets, 10 minutes dedicated to left hand and 10 minutes dedicated to right hand batting.
Interesting.
Okay. Mm. Your theory about taking the ball away from the batsman is a very good one, especially for white ball cricket. In the longer format, you may encounter, let's say, a left-hander like Devin Smith, who's stronger off the back foot. Mm-hmm. And, you know, you're bowling the ball shorter, even though you're taking the ball away from him, is bowling to his strength. Mm-hmm. How do you combat someone who's strong to the shorter ball going away from them, even though that's what you're trying to do? What's your counter to that?
Well, I'll change to bowling right hand and bring it into him, since you said that he likes the ball short and going away from him.
Mm.
And I'll set up the field.
Yes.
According to right hand bowling going into the right hand batsman.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's good. Or you could bowl it a little fuller and draw him onto the front foot, get the edge, and maybe bring these slips and mm-hmm. other people into play. But it's something that you should try to develop and keep working at it. And, you know, I think having math and physics as mm-hmm. your favorite subjects are very useful to the really, you know, actively using batting and bowling to your best advantage. So the best of luck to you. Mm-hmm. And, you know, nice to talk to you.
Yeah. Tony, you any advice for the young man or Roland? Just before he goes, Tony, any advice for the young man?
Yeah. Well, first of all, I have to say well done to the young man. I think it's brilliant that he has developed that type of skill, which is a rare skill. And the fact that he's done well in his schoolwork, he's an A student, mm-hmm. Shows that he has the ability to manage both mm-hmm. sport and studies. So well done to you. It seems that you're very disciplined. What other sports do you play? Mm-hmm. That's one question.
Mm-hmm.
Because when you play other sports, you get other skills. And also, you know, what kind of physical training you do, because the type of game that you have developed requires some strengthening. So those are the two questions I have for you, but well done.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you very much. Other sports I love to play is table tennis, and I'm a long distance runner also.
Oh, long distance runner as well. Mm-hmm.
Yes. And my physical training is that I go to the gym twice a day. Well, I start training recently. And I also have a stationary bicycle. So I ride on the bicycle for about 30 minutes to 1 hour.
Mm-hmm. I see.
That's mm-hmm. excellent. One other question, Andrew, is that, all right, you seem to have everything down pat, as the young people will say. What about your happy life? You go to the mall, you go to the beach. Mm. What about that?
Goes to church too.
Yes, sir. I go to church. I go to the beach to relax myself.
Mm-hmm.
And yes, I do go to the mall and have a spend some free time. and yes.
I see.
Well said.
Well
good
said.
Luck.
Roland, anything to for the youngster before he goes?
Yeah, I think first and foremost, good to meet the youngster. Always keen to encourage young players to be as good as they can. You know, it's good to see someone so young working on their skills and developing skills that a lot of people don't have. I mean, he's be able to do it both left and right hand, that ball and bat. That's a very rare skill, something that needs a lot of dedication. Also good to see him balancing his time, as you know, in my former life as a director of sport, about getting the players to balance their time between education and sport. It's good to see that he's doing that and hope that he continues to do that. And, you know, his thinking of taking the ball away from the batsman, you know, that's where you have more success. The majority of bowlers who take the ball away from the bat, particularly the spinners, you know, you bring so many dismissals into players, So it's good to see, you know, he's obviously thinking about the game and obviously has a good head on his shoulders. And I wish him all the success in the future.
I see. Well, Aravinda, you got a big name.
Thank you very much, sir.
In fact, you got two big names, Aravinda and Bishop. I mean, if you can't get any bigger than that. It's really good to have you on Mason and Guest. I thought it was so important to have you. Jabbar Niles last week did, in fact, mention you, and I decided to find you. And it's an absolute pleasure to have you on Mason and Guest. Were you a little nervous at the start or not really?
Yes, I was a bit nervous, to be honest.
But as we went on, you became a little cooler and everything, I'm sure. Thanks very much for coming on the show. Have a good evening, and we wish you well. We certainly will continue to monitor you, and it was an absolute pleasure. Good evening to you, sir.
Very much for this show. Have a good evening.
Thank you very much indeed. Wonderful. Absolutely brilliant. Thank you very much indeed. Well. Let's pause for business cause. When we come back, we want to continue to look at the regional cricket. Some of these names, I mean, you got Rosson Chase coming through, Louis coming through. I don't know if that has changed Tony Gray's mind about this, the construct of his team. We have Basil Butcher Jr. join us as well, because I know he's got his team picked as well. And no doubt, having done so well for Barbados in the two games that he played, Roland Butcher may change his mind and actually put Jason Holder in his team. Mason and Guest, brought in association with our very good friends at ESFE White Rum, the best shot of the day.
ESFE White Rum. If anybody feel they could drink with me, let them come. Open your mouth, drink it up, all you can qualify to sing this song. Tell me, bartender, ESA is the best shot of the day. Boy, pa 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 da 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 pa 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 da da. Say what you want, ESA is the best shot of the day. Is the best shot of the day.
Well, you could imagine.
Good evening, Andrew.
Good evening to you, sir.
Were you or Dr. Ford like that youngster?
Where
you were growing up?
I'm still. I'm still.
Were you ball right the bat left?
I have rock
score. Of course, Ronnie Clark, who's Liverpool, is Wilton. He's left the studio. He's in trouble. In fact,
Ronnie has liver conditions.
Like Liverpool.
Yeah.
All right. Wonderful indeed. Roland, are you a Liverpool man?
To the fact that I'm not. We have many battles. We have many battles on the chat. What I would say is the chat has been very quiet the last couple of weeks. And I'm not hearing Ronnie much.
No, not at all.
I hear him when Arsenal and Man United have a bad day. I hear him often. But
yeah, yes, indeed.
He's been very quiet.
Very quiet. The last two games, they've only picked up 1 point, and they were beaten by Crystal Palace on the weekend, so they're really struggling indeed. Now, let me come back to you, Tony Gray, in terms of what we've seen in the regional competition. We've seen Louis. I like him. I watched him against Barbados. I think he's one for the future. I like Andrews as well. A good player. In fact, the Leewards, when you look at the Leewards, they've got some very good players for the future. There's no doubt about that. And this is, I suppose, why they've done so well in the competition. Do you think that with these guys doing so well, it is going to be much more difficult for the selectors maybe to come up with that final 15-man squad to go to England? What do you think? Or it's predictable?
It's not predictable. Certain positions are very difficult, very tricky for the selectors. I think that the opening position, the opening batsman to partner, Bradford, is going to take some trouble picking, because you look at Louis, for example, he's had a lot of runs and not just two centuries, one in each innings against Ghana. I think that was the first game that he played, but he's had 450s. So he is the most productive batsman at the moment in the regional four-day tournament. Mm-hmm. But the question is if he can withstand that type of opposition in England, where the ball is going to move around, there will be fluctuating weather patterns, the pitches are going to change every 2 minutes. Can he withstand that pressure? He's just played six regional games, six first-class games, and he's done well. So the question is he a generational talent that can withstand that pressure from the start? Mm-hmm. Or do we need to give him a little bit more time so that he develops based on what we've seen already? You have McCaskey. You know, we've picked him. Roland and company, they have picked him against Australia. We've not seen him in international competition, obviously. He has talent, but he's just made a century. So I think that the opening position, Tejan Ryan Chanderpaul, he struggled a lot. I'm not sure that he has the confidence now. He scored a century just recently. I think it was in the fifth round. But I don't think that he has the confidence. And there's a question mark about his technique. Solozano, can he partner Bradford, basically batting the same way against the Englishmen? Because we have to have somebody that partners Bradford that is assertive, that could put pressure on the English bowling. So all these things will come up. But I think that I've heard you talk about Jason Holder. I would pick him, easily pick him, because he has that immense experience. He's not rest on his laurels. He's come back in regional cricket, and he's shown his all-round ability, scoring a couple of 50s, and then taking wickets. He's gone to England now to prepare. So I'm not sure why people are saying that they would not pick Roland Butch, Jason Holder.
Jason,
He's also scored. He's also scored a double century against England. His best bowling figures against England, so he has a liking for English opposition. So with his experience, the fact that he's played county cricket, the fact that he's played in England, I think that he definitely needs to be on that team. Tony, I have my team, you know, but
you do.
Do you want it?
Yeah, I want your team. Tony, just before you pick your team, I want to get my pen and my paper, because you see, when it comes to Roland Butch, he tends to change the team a lot. So I want to write it down for evidence that I'll take into the court. You see, when Dr. Ford is the judge. So I got my pen. Let me hear your team, Mr. Gray. Tell me. Bradford, right. Captain.
Yes, some surprises. Craig Bradford, Brandon King, Kurt McKenzie, Alec Antunes, Calvin Hodge, Kevin Sinclair, Joshua De Silva, Jason Holder, Alzari Joseph, Sharma Joseph, Jaden Seals, Kema Roach, Gudakesh Muti, Tevin Imlak, and I had some problems with the third opener I just mentioned. McCaskey, Louis, Tejan Ryan Chanderpaul, Jeremy Solozano. I would go back with McCaskey. I wouldn't pick Tejan Ryan Chanderpaul. I think that he has been struggling.
So let me get it. So you're picking Brathwaite, Brandon King, and McCaskey? Okay, so you're taking three openers.
Those are the three openers.
Okay, so it's McCaskey, Brathwaite, King, Mackenzie, Athanase. You got Hodge, Sinclair, De Silva, Jason Older, the two Josephs, Seals, Roach, Morty, and Imlach. So that would be your 15-man squad. That's it. Interesting. All right, Roland Butcher, Basil has joined us as well. Your reaction to that team, Roland Butcher? You like it?
Well, it's Tony's team. You know, Tony can pick the side he wants. That's the team that he likes.
Yes.
I said several weeks ago that my squad would have minimal changes.
Mm-hmm.
The change that I identified then would have been Jaden Sears for Hakeem Jordan.
Mm-hmm.
And at the time, possibly... you know, it would have been sheer hope for Tevin Imlach. The only other question mark might be now is to whether you take a chance with Louis or continue it with Janipal.
Mm-hmm.
But.
Mm-hmm.
Justin Graves stayed in my team as
Justin Graves.
That was the team that went
right.
The team that went to Australia.
So who would you have partnering Brathwaite?
Well, I mean, the question would be. Mm-hmm. Well, let's put it this way: if you change a player like Chanderpaul, if you felt that he was not in the sort of form to go,
mm-hmm.
then McCaskey. Would be the person to partner.
Mm.
That would open up for Louis to go as a development player.
Mm.
But the question is going to be: do you stick with Chanderpaul,
mm-hmm.
or do you take the youngster? So, but either way, mm-hmm. you either play Chanderpaul, who has played a number of Test matches and have done
mm-hmm.
well at times, mm-hmm. or you ask me. A start.
I see. But what would Roland Butcher do?
You let the break up your partnership of established players who played a bit, or
right.
And you know, so if you play McCaskey or you play Louis, right, you're putting two guys for the first time.
I see. 4241790, give us a call and tell us exactly what your team is going to be like. The lines are open now. And in fact, we've got someone from Grenada. Andrew, I listen to your show every week. My squad, T20 squad. By the way, Dr. Gray, you also have to give me your T20 squad. Please do that. Now, this is from, let me see. Oh, Mr. Charles. He said that my name is Mr. Charles. Roston Chase, this is my squad, T20 squad. By the way, Dr. Gray, you also have to give me your T20 squad. Please do that. Now, this is from, let me see. Oh, Mr. Charles. He said that my name is Mr. Charles. Roston Chase, this is the T20 squad. Johnson Charles, Katie Carty, Shea Hope, Nicholas Poran, Rodman Powell, Andrea Russell, Romarius Shepherd, Gutish Moti, Shamar Joseph, Alzari Joseph, Jason Older, Kyle Mears, Shafin Rutherford, Aki Hossein. Now that is his T20 squad. And in terms of the test squad, Craig Brathwaite, he's got McLean, Athanase, Hope, Hodge, De Silva, Sinclair, Moti, the two Josephs, Kemar Roach, Kevin Anderson is in his side, Jason Older, Zahir McAllister, and Jeremiah Louis. That is a very interesting team. Gentlemen, I'm going to come to you shortly, but we got a call, don't we? We do. Hello, welcome, Mason and guests.
Good night to you, Andrew.
Good night to you.
I saw the Gray's team. The only thing I'll do there, I'll add Hope. I don't think he mentioned Hope to that testing.
Mm.
And I will go with McCaskey and Brathwaite as the opener, and King.
So
just make sure we have one.
So hold on. So I've got Mr. Gray's team here. What are the changes you want to make? I've got my pen.
I would take one of those youngsters in the financial court. You really can't go to England.
Call, you got to give me a name, not one of the youngsters. Who would you take out?
The guy that you mentioned. What's his name?
Imlach. Who?
Imlach or Louis. Imlach. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
So you would take out Imlach and put in Hope?
I'm putting Hope, yeah.
Okay,
and
so
that's my testing.
That's the only change to your side.
Yeah, only change. I won't change.
Despite the fact that Imlach has done well in the regional competition?
I think I may say that we're making the Caribbean. As you do well in our regional tournament, we think you're ready. And then you fail, then there's a lot of criticism here. Your confidence get killed off, and then you go down. So I definitely carry Hope.
Instead of Imlach.
Yeah.
Thanks for your contribution. 441790. Basil Butcher, any reaction to that team? First of all,
Good evening, Andrew. Good evening to the panel. Good evening to your listeners. I have to remind Tony that double century was in 2019. We're in the year 2024. That's 5 years ago. Secondly, that double century was made in Barbados, not in England. At the moment, Mr. Hall is playing county cricket and got one wicket to his name in 2 matches. So it's not like he's gone and played in first class cricket and he's not lighting it up. But you want to leave home Jason Justin Graves, that showed signs in Australia against the best team in the world, and bring in Holder based on reputation, right? When Holder played in our first class, that's expected. The level is so low. If he bowls his regular test match line in our first class, those batters, they're going to struggle, as we saw when he did. Right? So we got to pump the brakes a little bit with Holder. I'm with Roland here. I'm staying with Mr. Graves. I'm staying with Mr. Graves.
Well, let me come in here. Can I say something?
Of course.
Well, you know, your father was a great batsman. I bowl fast, right?
So I have to come back.
The thing about it is that you have to me, not go on emotions that we won against Australia. You know, when being a selector, we have to divorce ourselves from any emotional attachment to any of the players, all right? We did do well in Australia. It wasn't expected that we would win the last test match, and we won and drew the series. Excellent performance. But we have to go on practicality and logic. We saw pockets of performances from Justin Graves. He's an emerging all-rounder. And in a general sense, players mature at 32, 33 in West Indies cricket because they don't get the volume of the matches that they need to mature earlier. But if you're matching up both people based on experience, based on ability, based on all-round ability, I will go for Jason Holder. He is still ranked at number 5 in the world as an all-rounder in test match cricket. So he has not rest on his laurels. He came back home and he performed where we measure players in regional cricket.
Well, Mr. Graves has come back home and performed himself, right? So we can't say that he hasn't performed. No, this thing with matching up players is a little tricky thing, because I remember I used to hear this comment many years ago when Carl Hooper was struggling. You would hear people say, who are we going to drop you for? It's not who we going to drop you for. You haven't performed. Somebody else comes into your slot. What are we saying to Justin Graves? Right? What are we saying to him as a player? He's come back, he's performed in the first class competition. And now you want to say Holder just walks back into the team. You know, I watched those matches. That's why I'm talking like this. That against Guyana, at times, when he bought him a roach, I remember in the second, when they took the second new ball, when the two of them bowled that test match length and line, Guyana was struggling. Right away, they picked up a bunch of wickets, but then they didn't sustain it. Ghana got to win, right?
Right.
He didn't. Trinidad. He had a good. He had a good game in Trinidad, but no, he's in England. And he got two matches done and one wicket to show. So I can't be so high on Holder. And let me just point this out. ICC are wrong stats. I don't respect them at all. You know why? I remember several years ago, I did some research. And I see who Dale Steyn in the top 10 all rounders in Test cricket. There is never a day on the, in his life Dale Steyn walk on a cricket field with the moniker all rounder. Yet he was in the top 10 of ICC Test rankings. From that day, I have no respect for the all-round rankings. Okay. So don't use the one, Tony.
the other thing coming through before we go to Dr. Ford, we get us a reaction from Guyana. Hello. I'm from Barbados. I'm listening to your show. Let the gentleman who wants to put hope in this team know that Imlach has two centuries this season and has been leading Guyana well from the front. Your reaction to that, Dr. Ford? Dr. Ford? Oh. Imlach. He went to Australia as well. Would you pick him, Dr. Ford?
Well, I believe that when we're talking about a guy like Hope and Imlach, I mean, there's not much of a choice there. Hope is technically the best batsman in the West Indies, but beyond any question. And I believe he's been mismanaged. He's been put in the wrong position as an opener, as a number three. And that I think the selectors have to bear that burden of not really understanding and watching and knowing how to use resources. But, you know, if you're going to... Imlach is a good player. I respect all players that play regional cricket and aspire to play international cricket. But I certainly can't put Imlach above a Shea Hope. If Shea is interested in playing Test cricket, certainly Shea would come before Imlach. That's not a question. But I do appreciate that. You know, Holder's only entry into the team will be if we want to pivot from a spinning all-rounder in Sinclair to a fast bowling all-rounder. But one of the difficulties is that we can't play Graves and Roach and Holder at the same time.
Not at all.
It's an excessive number of players that do the same thing. And they certainly can't play in the same 11. But the English conditions, we have to look at it. But I think Basil's point is relevant. And I believe that the scouts and the selectors have to be able to look past stats and be able to see those strengths and weaknesses of players and assess what the likelihood of them being successful at international cricket would be. I mean, I really like Graves. I like what he does with the ball. He moves it in and out. I mean, Holder's mostly outswing. But Graves is extremely susceptible behind square and in front of square on the offside. And he tends to hit the ball in the air in those positions a lot. And I believe internationally, he won't really flourish until he can solve that problem. And, you know, he can play some shots that can look good, but I've seen him get out too often in that area for him to really succeed there. So I believe as a top order batsman internationally, he is not going to do well, and he has to work on that part of the game. Mm-hmm. But otherwise, we have to decide if Chanderpaul averaging 32 plus is a diminishing force. I mean, watching him in Australia, his far defensive looked very, uncertain. Mm. It was as though I was wondering if his vision was 100% because his bat was moving a lot even when he played the far defensive. So I think looking at him back in Australia, his confidence was totally shot. I can understand Roland and his succession plan saying that McCaskey has to be given a chance since he went on tour, and therefore he'll be next up. And then Louis leading the averages. If the scouts and experts think that his technique is good enough to deal with a moving ball, he'll be next there. But, you know, we have to look beyond stats, and I believe people like the Honorable Desmond Haynes and the others have to be able to look at a player and see if the player is an international player. And I think that the selectors, when we talk about players and teams, don't really articulate exactly why a player is chosen and bridge that gap between stats and performance.
Right,
and I think the average fan has to be educated as to why decisions are made, and you need to bring logical conclusions to the fore so people can understand why we do what we do.
Mm-hmm. All right. So let me come in here.
Tony, just before you come in, we just have to pause for business cause. In order for you to be on this show, we have to be able to make some money, Tony. So I just want you to understand that. Right, right, Mr. Gray? Dr. Gray? So, but when we come back, I'll certainly come to you because I know that you are under a lot of pressure. And tonight, you're always on pressure when you come on
this. No pressure.
Based in guess. Because you're picking Jason Holden two butchers are saying no, not at all. So you're being butchered. All right. Based in guess, brought in association with our very good friends at ASFE White Rum, the best show of the day.
If anybody feel they could drink with me, let them come. Open your mouth, drink it up, or you can't qualify to sing this song. Tell me, bartender, ESA is the best shot of the day. Boy, pa 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 da 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 da, pa 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 da da. Say what you want, ESA is the best shot of the day. Is the best shot of the day.
All right, in case you're wondering, no Philo Wallace tonight. He's got a massive headache, and not even Dr. Ford could help him, but we wish our good friend Philo Wallace well. I think he's missing Barbados. He's been away for quite a long time. Just before you come in, Tony, a quick call. Hello, Mason and guests.
Hello, good night.
Good night to you.
Yeah, I was carrying Niall Smith, the young fast boy from Guyana.
You carried
that. He's going pretty quick again.
Mm, so you were carrying Niall Smith at whose expense?
You need somebody that bowling with good pace.
Yeah, but is he that quick?
Yeah, well, as far as I hear, he's bowling pretty quickly.
Okay, so you pick Niall Smith, and who would you leave home?
Well, you're going to carry Roy because of the experience, but who is the other fast bowler? I don't know if Seal is 100% fit yet.
Well, he's in England. He's doing pretty well. He had a couple of matches for Trinidad and Tobago, and once he's fit, he certainly is an obvious choice. There's no doubt about that.
And who are the other fast boys? You reckon that Jason Holder is a medium pacer?
Well, you have Azari Joseph and Shamar Joseph that will go.
Yeah, that's two.
Mm.
Roche is not a medium pacer.
Yeah, well, you got Jason Holder as well.
You will carry him?
Yes, I'll carry him.
I hold that stance.
Well, he's in my 15-man squad. I mean, I think once Jason Holder is available, he's good enough to play for the West Indies. I'll certainly pick him. Along with Shamar Joseph.
I'll pick him for the T20 World Cup.
Yeah, I'll also pick, of course, Shamar Joseph and Jaden Seals will be also in there as well. All right, well, thanks for your contribution, call-up. We don't want to keep Tony Gray waiting any longer. Tony, your response. Did somebody say something that upset you?
Well, when Dr. Ford spoke about the scouts and the selectors, he's really talking about me. I said earlier on that Brandon King, we need to think outside of the box. So it's not really stats that we're going on because he's had 250s.
Mm-hmm.
I've been playing in England for Surrey Cricket Club for 4 years. I know the conditions, and one of the things that we look for with batsmen is for them to play late or earlier depending on the length of the ball. When you look at Brandon King's technical ability and the fact that he has faced a lot of fast bowlers in recent times opening the innings in white ball cricket, because we can't go with that, he has that experience of playing with soft hands. He has the ability to pierce the gaps, and that's what you need in England. So that's why I went with Brandon King. His stats is not all that great. So I didn't go on stats with it. But Jason Holder, you take some time to get used to English conditions. And I spoke to a lot of batsmen, and they really struggle initially to get used to the swinging ball.
Mm.
It's far different from what we experience in the Caribbean. So players would have to take time to make the adjustment. And Jason Holder is there already. So it's not just about stats. It's about ability, the technical ability. That's why I said before we played against Australia the last time around, that Chanapol is concerning to me because his technical game has changed significantly, and he can get out in different ways. He went from 40 the first time he went to Australia to 7 average. So he's struggling at the moment because he's overcompensating with his technique. So it's not just about stats, Dr. Ford. It is about understanding technical competence and weaknesses of players and also the psychological makeup of players. So that's why I've picked Brandon King. He has temperament. He's been facing pace. And although he doesn't have great stats in regional cricket, I think that he has a technical competence.
Interesting.
Tony, I never questioned your selection of King. We're singing from the same hymn book when it relates to the ability of players to you know, cope with conditions and to have technical abilities. And I know stats are in a vacuum are misleading. I didn't deal with King. Yeah, King is a good batsman. Yeah, he's averaging only 36 in the region. The thing is, can King make the transition from playing so much white ball cricket to playing red ball cricket, being patient? His first innings in the tournament suggested that. And, you know, King is an excellent opening batsman, I am sure. The thing is, do the selectors, and also is King willing? And this is the same question we have with all the other white ball players, Hope, King. You know, are they willing to take the transition to the red ball? So we'll see how that goes. But we agree that that technique is important.
Right. Okay. Well, it's always important to get some reaction from across the Caribbean on the Mason and Guest Show. Let's go up to Jamaica and speak to Jerome Foster, the noted journalist. Hello, Jerome. You've had an opportunity to see a lot of the regional cricket, and he joins us now on Mason and Guest. The discussion has been very interesting in terms of the construct of the squad to go to England. You've been listening. Do you have a squad, Jerome, to go to England?
Yeah, good evening to everybody in Barbados. Good evening to everybody who is listening, and good evening to your panel as well. I would have loved to have heard everybody else's squad, but I can just give you what I have off the top of my head in terms of the direction of where I saw the team in Australia, as well as what I've seen so far in the regional competition. Obviously, Craig Brathwaite will go as the captain. I have Zachary McCuskey as one of the openers. And I have to stick with Tejaran Chanderpaul just because of what has... I don't think he has a great sample size as yet for you to relegate him to not being in the squad. So those are my three openers for now. Kirk McKenzie goes back because of what he did in Australia. He's not had a great regional tournament, obviously. Joshua Da Silva is my first wicketkeeper. If Shea Hope is available, I carry him as well. And if he's not, obviously, Tevin Imlach will go. Shamar Joseph, I have to pick Jason Holder, Kavim Hodge, Jaden Seals, Kemar Roach, Azari Joseph, Gudakesh Moti, Kevin Sinclair. And I have a toss-up between Athanase and King because I personally have a lot of technical problems with Athanase. I know he's young to international cricket. I know that he's one for the future. But I just saw too many glaring issues, especially on our flat pitches where he has a problem with the balls that comes back towards his stumps, where his bat is almost facing extra cover. So he has a lot of gap between bat and pad. That is something that is, if I can work that out, I think anybody can work that out. And I am no expert at this thing. So that little aspect, I think, needs a lot of work because he has been bowled a lot in the regional tournament. He has been bowled through the gate. He has been bowled leave alone. So those things are a little bit of a concern for me. And that's why I have him as a toss-up between King and Athanase. I saw the lead selector here in Jamaica last week. He was watching the Scorpions and the Harpy Eagles. So I'm not sure if he came to look at specific players. But I think that is my only issue. Either King or Athanase, not both of them.
So who would you go with?
If King is available, I'll go with King.
So you're telling the Mason and Guest family you don't have Athanase in your team? Is that
No. Not based on the glaring technical issues that I see.
So suppose somebody responds and says, but suppose somebody responds to what you said earlier, giving Chander Paul some more time, but you don't want to give Atanas. How would you respond to that?
Well, what I would say is that the middle order is a little bit too feeble, and you'd probably want a little bit more experience. That's why I'm saying if hope is available, then I wouldn't be worried in carrying good Alec Atanas. But if he's not available, mm-hmm. I would go with somebody who has played more cricket at this level, international cricket, and has more. I would say more background as well as qualities to deal with the moving ball.
Okay.
Because I think Atanas, as we saw in Australia, was struggling with the moving ball a lot.
Stay with us. Let's go to the telephones. 441790. Hello, welcome.
Thank you, how are you?
Pardon me?
Hello, how are you?
Oh, I'm okay. How are you?
Yeah, I've been going back down this road again. We did a plan to drop Roach earlier. Roach on the way out. What you can't put it on Roach for. Ooh. That is a problem. We need youngsters, Andrew. You should let us have to look, sit down and look for the youngsters that play cricket. What did they spend so much and make two hours for 19 runs? Have you still gone along with that? That work.
I see.
Huh?
Interesting.
I'm
listening to you.
They can't carry water and roach no more. I do tell the man tell a good evening.
So you're not carrying Holder, you're not carrying Roach? No, or you carrying one of them?
I'm back and runs, you're doing nothing. Roach is just a trailer.
A trailer?
Come on. You guys seem to look at this thing serious, man. I'll be back and run monkey sport. A lot of young people in Australia, New Zealand, investing still this old brigade all the time. And you might come on.
All right. Thanks for your contribution. Jerome, you're getting some backlash. Your friends in Guyana are saying, but how could you pick Hope when Imlach has done so well? He's got two centuries in leading Guyana well. How do you respond to that, Mr. Foster?
Yes, but then again, it comes back to horses for courses, because if you go back to when the last time, well, not the very last time, but the last time Hope played, had his useful contribution in Test cricket, it came in England.
Yes.
If we're going to be very frank here, because that's when he scored those runs and he had that double set, those 200s in the test to win the test match. So I personally don't have an issue with selecting Imlach, but I just believe if we're going to be looking for a best middle order in terms of quality with technique and potential, I would go with players who are tried and proven in English conditions. If it was a home series, I would definitely have Imlach as my backup wicketkeeper.
Interesting.
Because he's used to the conditions here. In Australia, he obviously didn't get a chance to play. He has come back, he has done well, so you can say that he merits his spot. But what Shea Hope has done internationally, albeit in white ball cricket, he would probably be ahead of him. Just because of his exposure at the international level.
A question.
But Andrew, you also have to look at the fact that in spite of us doing well in Australia, we batted poorly. And we have to really be true to ourselves and understand that the top six isn't going to work if we're going to be a force in international cricket. A shake-up needs to be had with the top six. Sinclair and Joseph had to make some scores that really made a difference. And we do know that some of the other guys helped too. I haven't heard Carty in this mix-up at all, even though he's an orthodox batsman. So that's an interesting thing. So no one has mentioned Carty, but something needs to be done with our top six. Our top six isn't international standard. And yes, we can have some all-rounders that come back, but something needs to be done with the top six.
Now, Roland...
And especially with the fact that our openers don't score at a rapid rate. So even if they're occupying the crease, there's a potential for the West Indies to slip from 40 without loss to 40 for two after 25, 26 overs because they don't score quickly. So even that is a potential problem. So you don't want a lot of inexperienced players continuing to play at this level where you're going to be continuing to be digging yourself out of the hole with numbers 7 and 8 all the time. It's not going to happen.
I see. Roland, there's something coming in for you here. Can you ask Roland, given the start that Shamar Joseph had in the IPL, if he would have him in his World Cup T20 squad? Roland?
I would certainly. I mean, Shamar Joseph, I think, people feel to think that Shamar Joseph has played no white ball cricket. But Shamar Joseph has, up to the recent 50 over tournament in Trinidad. Shamar Joseph played ball quick, ball well. So, you know, you're not picking him up off the street to put him into. And, you know, and in that tournament, to have somebody with a bit of an X factor, it makes a big difference. I mean, if Jofra Archer was fit, he would be in the England side because he brings something a little bit different. That extra pace, that extra bounce, you know, it makes a difference within the tournament. So if you've got somebody like Shamar Holder, like Shamar Joseph, you would not want him in a squad so that he has a contribution to make at some point.
I agree with you. That's an X factor. I certainly agree with you. Tony, have you picked your World Cup squad? T20 World Cup squad? You gave us the team to England. Do you have your World Cup squad? You have it there?
Yep.
Okay. Yep. I'm going to get my pen.
I have it right.
Okay.
You want me to hear it?
Well, the tapes are rolling.
You want me to pick teams for the others to go after?
Tell us your team. Tell us your team. This is your T20 World Cup squad. This is Tony Gray, the mayor of Port of Spain.
Yeah. Brandon King.
King?
Johnson Charles. No. Nicholas Pourhat.
Okay, could you just do it slowly? Because people want to digest your team. So King Charles.
All right, okay.
Mm-hmm.
Brandon King. Johnson Charles. Mm-hmm. Nicholas Pourhat.
Mm-hmm.
Shea Hope.
Mm-hmm.
Shafane Rutherford.
Mm-hmm.
Rovman Powell.
Mm-hmm.
Roston Chase.
Oh, Chase.
Mm-hmm. Andre Russell.
Mm-hmm.
Jason Holder,
mm-hmm.
Akil Hussain, Alvari Joseph, Romario Shepherd,
mm-hmm.
Gudakesh Moti.
Mm-hmm.
Did I mention I'm not seeing? Do I have the? I'm not seeing Shamar Joseph. Did I mention Shamar Joseph?
No, you mentioned Alzari.
All right, no. Gudakesh Moti, Shamar Joseph. And Kyle Mears.
And Mears. So let me see. That's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15. Kyle Mears. Interesting squad. All right. Basil, can you give us your T20 squad? Do you have it?
Yeah. My T20 squad is minus O'Shane Thomas. The team that went to Australia.
Mm-hmm.
Minus O'Shane Thomas and bringing Shamar Joseph. That's my squad.
Interesting. Jerome Foster, do
yes,
you have a...
Yes, couple my squad.
Yeah.
I think it's the same squad like Tony. Same squad.
I see.
We need consensus, Tony.
Yeah, it's about time. Jerome Foster, do you have a T20 squad?
I beg to agree with most of what Tony and Basil has said. I just think that there's a toss-up between Mears and Hetmyer. Based on what we have seen for the last year and a half. Yeah, because I think Brandon King and Johnson Charles are going to be the openers. They want Nicholas Pourhat to bat in the power play. They don't want Shea Hope to bat in the power play. So Hope would be the man that holds the team together at four. Mm. And then they're going to have Rovman Powell, Andre Russell, and the hitting Shepherd, Holder, Moti, Alzari, Shafane Rutherford. And I think Roston Chase is in the 30 because of the difference with what he brings. He brings off-spin. He's the only off-spinning option in the team.
Mm-hmm.
As well as if Shea Hope is not doing the role as well as they want with the bat,
mm-hmm.
he can also do that holding role. So he picks himself. The fast bowling thing, it's obvious. It's either Obed McCoy, Shamar Joseph, or O'Shane Thomas. And I'm going with Shamar Joseph. It's
hold
a no-brainer.
Hold on. Do you have McCoy on your side?
No, I'm saying that fast bowling spot is between those three.
Okay.
There's one more but I'm going with Shamar Joseph out of those three names. And it's as I said, it's a toss-up between Mears and Shimran Hetmyer. And I want to go Hetmyer, but I think the selectors are going to go with Mears.
But who would Jerome Foster go with? Too. Just hold a minute. Who would Jerome Foster go with? We're not worried about the selectors. Are you picking Hetmyer or Mears in the guest tonight? ahead of Kyle Mayer's?
I personally would pick Hetmyer.
So yeah, therefore, Jerome Foster's team includes Mr. Hetmyer.
Definitely.
Oh,
definitely.
That's interesting.
Yeah. Can I ask you a question?
Yes.
Can I ask him a quick question?
Yes.
Yeah, what role is Hetmyer going to play? Because when we look at him in franchise cricket, he has, 20 balls to hit all over the place. Hetmyer has tried his very best when he played for the West Indies team, in my opinion, and being a level 3 coach, he has really tried his best. He's proven his feeling. But to me, he has been miseducated, misprogrammed. So he cannot bat for long now. So we have guys at the end who can hit the ball and who are good finishers.
I agree with that. But the only difference that I think is that when he just came back into the team, he was being forced to bat at 4 and 5, which is asking him outside of what he has been doing for the IPL franchise, as you pointed out. But what I also understand that is going to happen a lot in this World Cup is that leg spin is also going to be a big part in this World Cup. So our late hitters are all right-handers, and they tend to struggle against the leg spin.
Interesting.
So that is why I'm probably going to have him as part of, if Sherfin Rutherford is not up to scratch for the majority of the tournament.
I got a quick question for Jerome. you got to be careful with Hetmyer and the spin thing.
Yeah.
Because of the role that he has been playing, I have noticed that the qualities he had against spin earlier on in his career have seemed to diminish. Against leg spinners, the googly is deceiving him all the time. You talk about Hetmyer and Puran as these two of the better young players against spin. But recently, Hetmyer has been wanting when he comes up against good spin. But look today,
Chakravarti,
they kept him back because they don't want to see Mr. Narayan own him like a cheap suit. He comes in and Bat comes in with 12 after 12 overs. And his body language told me was like, I don't know what to do in this situation anymore. You know, it's not where it's like 8 or 10 balls to come and just look to clear the fences, you know. And he got a soft out on the first ball to a guy that gave him one off of the, what you would say, back of the length test, patch length. He just started and popped it up straight, short extra cover. So I think people, when they're looking at Hetmyer, they're looking at Hetmyer, the Hetmyer that we used to see that made the hundreds in ODI cricket.
That's not the same Hetmyer
in my view.
Yeah.
Okay.
He's been misguided, miseducated.
Gentlemen, let's pause for the final business cause. Time flies so very quickly. Mason and Guest, brought in association with a very good friends at ESFE White Rum, the best shot of the day.
ESFE White Rum. If anybody feel they could drink with me, let them come. Open your mouth, drink it down, or you can't qualify to sing this song. Tell me, bartender, ESFE is the best shot of the day. Boy, pa 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 da 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 da. What you want? ESA is the best shot of the day. Is the best shot of the day.
All right, 4341790. Let's take a call before we get a reaction from Mr. Roland Butcher. Hello, welcome, Mason and Guess.
Good evening, Mr. Mason.
Good evening to you. How are you?
Yes. Is Philo Wallace in the island?
No, well, Philo has not been in the island for about 4 or 5 years. He now lives in England.
Oh, because his second father is supposed to be laid to rest tomorrow, and his, I was the second father.
His second father?
Yes, which was a Spartan supporter by the name of Mr. Husband.
Oh.
Z34.
Oh, Z34. Yeah. What's Mr. Husband's first name?
James Husband.
Oh, James Husbands.
Yes. Yeah, oh. Spartan supporter and a former cricketer of Hadley's in St. John.
Okay,
I see. And me very, very supportive of Mr. Philo Wallace.
Mm-hmm. In fact, talking about people dying, of course, we're going to go to Roland Butcher for his tribute. We lost Derek Underwood. Roland Butcher, I mean, so sad. That has happened. Derek Underwood. Roland?
Yeah, Andrew. Derek Underwood was a really nice guy. I mean, a top bowler. You know, great servant for Kent, great servant for English cricket. Perhaps one of the most difficult spinners to face simply because of the pace that he bowled at. Formed a fantastic partnership with Alan Knott. How often did you hear a caught Knott bowl Underwood or stumped Knott bowl Underwood? So he had a real impact and carried really the England bowling, spin bowling attack for a very long time. You know, a guy just got on with the job and got it done. So it's sad, you know, still a young man at age 78. But, you know, he rest in peace and condolences to his family and a great loss to the game in UK.
Quickly, what's happening to Alan Knott? We haven't heard anything at all about Alan Knott in a long time. Have you met him? Do you see him at all when you go to England in your many travels?
Alan Knott moved many, many years ago. He lives in Cyprus.
He lives in Cyprus.
A very good life. I mean,
Cyprus
is pretty much like Barbados. You know, he moved to those climes many, many years ago.
Oh, I see.
That's where he lives and has his life.
No.
Quick. Andrew, yes.
No.
Stop it. You have. I'll be very quick.
Sure.
The squad cannot change much. Listen, we picked that squad back last year. And at that point, see that was going to be the main group. And it was a case of giving them games between last year and the World Cup. So, you know, maybe someone like Shamar Joseph has pushed, maybe pushing Ian Thomas. But generally, the squad remained the same. I mean, there's going to be a lot of this. But why are you going to change now? Based on what?
So Hetmyer was not in your squad at the time, but you were a selector.
Well, Hetmyer missed out at the end. So right. What I'm saying is the group of players that you put together then, that's where your players are going to come from. With the exception of maybe Shamar Joseph.
Right. Oh, right. Because he would not have been in the equation. But now he's in the equation. You think somebody would be squeezed out, Roland Butcher? Because I would think so. I mean,
well, I wouldn't say somebody would be squeezed out. I would say that, you know, he would push himself in.
And who would be out? Roland,
because O'Kane didn't have many opportunities to play, he may be the one that's under a bit of pressure.
And so say the name again. I didn't hear the name. What name you called? Roland?
You have heard. You've heard of O'Shane Thomas, and are you trying to line me up
So O'Shane Thomas is out, and Shamar Joseph is in. Well, interesting, gentlemen.
I'm saying if there's a change,
right, gentlemen. We just got 30 seconds left on the show, and I know that Mr. Butcher likes 30 seconds. This is Basil Butcher Jr. 30 seconds for you, sir. Starting now.
I want to extend my condolences to the Underwood family. Actually, what Roland said just now, caught Knott, bowl Underwood. That was my father's last innings West Indies.
Really?
Albeit that the umpire artifact apologized after saying, because he did not touch the ball.
Oh, my golly. Oh, my caught Knott, bowl Underwood. Absolutely brilliant. Gentlemen, you know, on this show, time goes very, very quick. But we really want to thank you, Jerome Foster, the interesting contribution you just made. Picking Hetmyer in your squad, that's certainly going to make primetime sports tomorrow. Thanks to you, Mr. Roland Butcher, all the way there in England, telling us that O'Shane Thomas is out, the team that he would have picked when he was a selector, and Shamar Joseph is in. Dr. Ford continues not to have Shamar Joseph in his side. And, of course, a stout defense from the man who's, of course, a scout. We're talking about Tony Gray, who has Jason Holder in his side. It's been an absolute pleasure. The young man was absolutely brilliant. Alvinder Bishop, 4th of August 2009, the youth of a nation of the trustees of prosperity. I'm Andrew Mason. Here's hoping for a better tomorrow. It's good night.